KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Scott Schaefer. In the wake of recent storms, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger declared a state of emergency in 16 more California counties Tuesday, bringing the total to 23. Damage estimates now top $200 million statewide, with Napa and Sonoma counties by far the hardest hit. Despite concerns about levee breaks, state water officials say they were able to plug most of the holes during the storms, but they're worried they may not be so lucky next time. California legislators begin their new session today in Sacramento. On Thursday, the governor delivers his State of the State address, and yesterday he announced plans for what he says is the largest ever spending increase for California's public schools. But is it enough? His critics in the education community say no. Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers has that story.
On Tuesday, the governor's education secretary, Alan Burson, announced Schwarzenegger's upcoming budget will increase K-12 funding by $4.3 billion. Burson said almost $1.7 billion of that amount will pay back money borrowed.
It's something that the governor has done because of the available revenues.
School funding in California is guided by an arcane formula approved by voters in 1988. The governor's critics in the education community say under that formula, a $1.7 billion repayment next year only amounts to about a third of the total amount borrowed since 2004. Scott Plotkin is executive director of the California School Boards Association.
He is talking about additional funds for the schools next year, which we think is definitely a step in the right direction, but we were disappointed that there wasn't more funding available in the current year because revenues are going so well.
The governor's proposal also earmarks more education money for new arts, music, and physical education programs. His full budget will be unveiled next week. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
There are winners and losers in a new federal plan to base more Homeland Security funding on the risk of terrorism attacks. Los Angeles, for example, could end up with more federal money, while San Diego is likely to lose funds. San Francisco's Emergency Services Director calls the new funding formula a bombshell that will force the city to compete with other Bay Area communities for federal dollars. A confirmation hearing will be held today for the woman Governor Schwarzenegger nominated to serve on the California Supreme Court. In announcing his choice last month, the governor described appellate court judge Carol Corrigan as a brilliant jurist with unimpeachable integrity. Colleagues say Corrigan has a warm personality and a great sense of humor. At her announcement before the Capitol Press Corps last month, she described herself this way.
I think the cornerstone of my judicial philosophy is that the law doesn't belong to judges. It belongs to people, and it belongs to all of us.
Corrigan was born in Stockton 57 years ago. She graduated from UC Hastings College of the Law and then worked as a prosecutor in the Alameda County District Attorney's Office. In 1991, Governor Pete Wilson appointed Corrigan to the Alameda County Superior Court and later to the Court of Appeal in San Francisco, where she serves now. Corrigan was a registered Democrat until the mid-90s when she switched to the Republican Party. A self-described moderate, Corrigan would replace the court's most conservative justice, Janice Rogers Brown, whom President Bush elevated last year to the federal bench. While many Republicans say they're satisfied with Judge Corrigan's nomination, some are wary. Mike Spence is president of the California Republican Assembly, a grassroots organization that promotes conservative policies.
You know, there's lots of issues that are coming before the court, you know, where they're trying to embrace social liberalism of the liberal wing of the Democratic Party. And the courts have favored that over the years, and this will just be another vote probably for those things, unfortunately.
There's no telling where Corrigan will come down on major social issues headed the court's way, like the question of gay marriage. But the governor did choose her over a more conservative judge, a fact that Mike Spence finds unsettling.
I mean, you see a theme, which is to surrender to liberals so that they don't get mad at him.
Those who know Corrigan say when it comes to public safety issues, the former deputy DA tilts toward the prosecution. In one case from 1996, she rejected an appeal from a defendant sentenced to 25 years to life, even though his third strike was for stealing $70 worth of merchandise. San Francisco appellate attorney Paul Fogel has appeared before Judge Corrigan several times. He describes her as one of the brightest members of the bench in California and one who can put attorneys through the ringer.
She can be very, very critical of your argument, and she's not going to hold back. I mean, she's not going to just sit there in stone silence.
In fact, 3 months ago, an attorney representing the insurance provider Health Net fainted in her courtroom after she and another judge put him through a barrage of tough questions. San Francisco Court Commissioner Ron Albers says that kind of strong presence is typical of Corrigan.
Nobody will ever question if she's sleeping on the bench or was taking a break, because she's 150% present all the time.
Perhaps the biggest differences between Corrigan and the woman she's likely to replace are personality and demeanor. Appellate lawyer Paul Fogel says Janice Brown's style did not help her win the votes she needed for majority opinions at the state Supreme Court.
The word on the street was that with Janice Brown at the court, things were more polarized. The justices didn't talk very much. There were lots of personal attacks in draft opinions. You don't find those personal attacks in Carol Corrigan's opinions.
Of course, judges are more than just the sum of their decisions from the bench, and Carol Corrigan's community involvement is another window into the kind of person she is. On a recent afternoon at the St. Vincent's Day Home in Oakland, 24 kids were playing a lively game of dodgeball. St. Vincent's provides childcare for children of needy families. Carol Corrigan has served on the board of directors here for over 20 years. Executive Director Corrine Moorman says Corrigan, who is unmarried and has no children, joined the board because she has a passion for kids.
She wasn't building her resume by serving on this board or trying to make business connections in the community. She was really caring about the children and how she could help ensure that they had a quality start in life.
Moorman says she has no idea where Justice Corrigan would come down on major legal issues of the day, but she says she has a sense of how she'll approach them.
I know that Carol is a very compassionate and passion-driven person, so I have to believe that she will indeed take what the people of California have said to be the values of this state and to apply them accordingly.
The three-member commission that will vote on Judge Corrigan's nomination this afternoon in San Francisco includes two Democrats and one Republican. But Corrigan's nomination is expected to sail through. If she's confirmed, it will leave the state's seven-member high court without an African-American justice for the first time in more than a decade. That's the California Report for Wednesday, January 4th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Scott Schaefer. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Endowment for coverage of healthcare in California, the California Farm Water Coalition, family farmers dedicated to using water to produce fresh fruits, vegetables, and grains for your family, online at farmwater.org, and TIAA CREF, serving those who serve others by offering financial services for the greater good. TIAA-CREF.org.